And our special guest this hour, Veer McCoy. We're talking about their work, Liberating Yourself from Lyme. Their websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll come back and take your calls, your stories, your questions on Coast to Coast. And welcome back to Coast, Veer McCoy with us. This hour we'll take your phone calls, your questions. Maybe you've had Lyme disease. You might want to check in with us as well. What happens when a child gets Lyme disease, Veer?
It's when a kid gets Lyme disease, fortunately their circulation is a lot better. If you can catch it when a kid's got Lyme disease, some of your remedies are going to work a little bit better than in an older person it's harder to get the remedies moving around in there, the antibiotics and stuff. But a lot of times kids go undiagnosed. A lot of people I know think they've had Lyme since they were little kids and have all sorts of weird symptoms that were just never treated.
Can your dog or cat get Lyme disease?
Your dog can. I haven't heard about cats, but yes, dogs can get Lyme disease.
And how do you cure that? How do you fight that for the pet?
They use same thing. They use some antibiotics. There's some homeopathics that I've seen some doctors use. But same kind of thing.
But it seems like the antibiotics alone don't work, even in your case. I mean, it suppresses it, but it came back. It suppressed it, then it came back.
Yeah, the problem is that once Lyme disease has gone chronic, usually most Western doctors will keep you on antibiotics for oftentimes years, and they'll rotate the antibiotics. And sometimes people come out of it just from being on antibiotics forever, but a lot of times you don't. So you have to do an integrated approach.
Absolutely. Let's take some calls here for you. Let's go to Tammy in Raleigh, North Carolina to get things started. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hi, I basically have had, well, I got Lyme about 40 years ago, maybe now. So I had it a long time, and I don't know if I still have it, but basically my life changed forever. Went through a lot of the same things Veer did.
Did you have cases or times where it just flared up and went away, flared up and went away?
Yeah, I did. And I had pneumonia right after I first got diagnosed, and it took about 9 months. If it was from the tick bite, and if it wasn't, like he said, a longer time than that, but about 9 months after I got bit by a tick, and it was in my head, dropped from a tree, going into my house. And I did have a rash because I went to a dermatologist, and she gave me some cream or something. So it wasn't until 9 months later, I couldn't change the gears in my car. I had a straight drive. My sister would have to help me drive my car. And I just got so sick, I was just ready to give up, and they take me to the hospital because I know I'm going to die or something.
Jeez.
And I had a lab tech that took my blood, who was from Virginia, where they have a lot of Lyme. And she said, don't tell your doctor I told you this, but do you think this could be Lyme? I said, well, I did get by a tick. And she said, please, please, please call your doctor and tell him that you want to be tested for Lyme. And I did that. And she basically probably saved my life because I called my doctor. He had never had a Lyme patient before. He said, Tammy, you don't have this. There's no way you have this. And I said, please. And he finally said, okay, I'll go ahead and test it. Don't worry. So that's kind of how it all started for me.
Did he apologize when it came back positive?
No.
Of course not.
He sent me to like an infectious disease specialist who treated me like I was crazy. And it was just, I didn't really get any help. Other than, like, at many months after that, they said it went from mono to then they thought I had arthritis symptoms, then I had, like, more of the neurological symptoms, and then I started having heart palpitations. And it wasn't really until I started doing alternative medicine stuff. And I did some oral antibiotics for the mono that they said could have possibly treated the Lyme. But, yeah, it's just been a series of trying to find different alternative therapies. I did acupuncture. It was so helpful. NAET helped a lot. Veer, are you familiar with NAET?
Yeah. I found that helpful.
What is that?
Yeah. Do you want to answer that, Veer, or do you want me to answer that?
You can tell. Tell us.
Basically, it's done by acupuncturists and some chiropractors, and they have tons and tons of vials of every substance that you can imagine, and they have Lyme. Now I've heard they have Lyme co-infections, but they didn't at the time that I was getting NAET for Lyme. And they basically muscle test you and find out what you have, and then they have you do certain breathing techniques while they're tapping on your back down your spine, because these things settle in your spine. And then they put the acupuncture needles in, and they do that for so long, and then they retest you. And so,
when's the last flare-up you had, Tammy?
I think that I don't know if I still have Lyme in my body or not, but I haven't worked for about 10 years now. I just basically have a lot of fatigue, and I'll flare up with the fatigue.
And now, Vera, she just said she doesn't know if she still has it in her body or not. Can she find that out?
It gets really tricky to test after a while because Lyme mutates so much. And there are some new tests out there that are very sensitive that can detect the DNA. I've been a little bit out of the loop with the testing in the last 10 years, but I think that there's some new tests that they can get pretty zoom in on it. And whether or not you can get rid of it completely, my co-author, Kara Zoll, she went through the same journey with me, and she claims it's completely out of her. I think what happens is that I haven't had any symptoms for 10 years. I think that at a certain point, your immune system gets a handle on it, and so it just doesn't come back. Whether or not it's completely gone, I can't say.
The test itself, is it a blood test?
There's different types of tests. Yeah, there's the blood. There's a blood test. There's a Western blot test, it's called. There's PCR tests, just like they're doing with COVID. They can also test things like they'll test your spinal fluid, like they did with me, to see if you have white blood cells in your spinal fluid. I think there's a new kind of DNA test. I'm not sure of the name of it, but I know that there's a newer test now that's pretty accurate.
If you have Lyme disease and it, you know, goes dormant, when does it generally come back again? How long?
Well, just like people get these flare-ups, and it's based upon these eggs that hatch, these little cysts like parasites. So sometimes if you're doing really good and your health is strong, you might feel good for a few months, maybe even a year. And then if you get stressed out, you start, you know, for whatever reason, emotional stuff comes up. The little eggs are like, he's weak, she's weak, the coast is clear, let's hatch. And then you're back to feeling like, you know, crap for months, sometimes years.
Let's go to Mayette in the city of New York. Mayette, welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. This is truly fascinating, and we're sending love. Was that Tammy, the first caller?
Yes, it sure was.
Yeah, we're sending love and healing her way. What a story. But I have a two-parter. First, this meditation technique, you need to kind of teach it to us in a capsule, how you came on it, and whether you have some information, if we go online, that we can, that's, you know, the infusion to your brain and all the remedies, that's astounding. The second part is not too far from me on Long Island. There was a laboratory called
Plum Island.
Yeah, Plum Island, right, off of Long Island. And there's been some information that's going around that there were some experiments going on there that resulted in the creation of the bacterium, and that it first showed up in Connecticut. So if you have my questions, I'll listen over the air. Thank you so much, George.
All right, Vera, let's talk a little bit about meditation. What do you recommend? What techniques?
Well, I think she was referring to that intuitive meditation that I started to do. And basically, the best time to do that is in the morning. You know, they call it the golden hour or the liminal space. When you first wake up and you're just kind of coming awake, do the same thing. And it quite simply, it's just feel into your body. Say it's your knee that hurts. hold it like it's a baby, like you're pouring out all the love you can to your knee and say, what's the matter? I love you. What do you need? You know, I love you. And listen, listen, what does it feel like? What does it remind you of? You know, just if you could, what does the pain remind you of? And some keep a little journal is what I did. And sometimes you don't see anything, you don't get anything. But if you keep doing that, you'll start to get impressions of things of, oh, this reminds me of, you know, this or that. And you start writing those things down. So that's a really important meditation to do. And before I leave you, I'm going to give you the ultimate meditation. But we can do that at the end of the show.
Can this thing have been created in a laboratory? What do you think?
Now, so along the way, I had become, you know, what's called a medical intuitive. I guess that's what they call it. I was able to start seeing these remedies and seeing into my body. And a couple of times I saw the Lyme itself. And I remember when I saw it, I remember thinking, oh, my God, it looks like a little baby alien spider out of a video game. And I had that thought back then that, wow, this thing seems very mutant. Now, there's a couple of books out there that indeed these authors claim that during the Cold War, or even earlier, that Lyme disease existed, but then they took it, like we read about with OTSI. It's been around for a long time, but they took it and they may have manipulated it as a biological weapon. Whether or not that's true, I can't say, but there are a number of books out there, and it sure had that impression to me that it had been manipulated with.
We've got Michael in Colorado. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hey there.
Hi.
Well, I have a couple comments and a question.
Okay.
From what he's saying, it sounds like the way to beat this can be with the immune system, which is sort of common sense. But since it's the result of an injury rather than a disease, although the cause could be an injury and the result could be a disease, it would seem that keeping your immune system strong would be possibly the answer to not getting the effects from it or healing it. And I'm thinking that maybe eating antibacterial, antiviral foods such as garlic, cayenne pepper, etc., might be a way to even keep from getting the results of a bite before having to deal with them. When he mentioned fat, eating fat right away, I thought of what Dr. Wallach always says about eating a lot of HDL cholesterol, which protects your brain and can heal things like Alzheimer's.
Good point.
Now, my question is, can it also cause heart disease?
Is there any evidence that shows that Lyme disease correlates to heart disease, Veer?
Yes, because Lyme disease, so we talked about Borrelia. So there's these other bacteria and parasites that come with the tick bite. One of those is called Babesia, which is actually a little protozoan or a type of parasite. Now, Babesia gets into the heart, and so a lot of people have heart symptoms, palpitations, very strange heart issues, and that's a very much a Babesia symptom. So yes,
and he's right. Build up your immune system; it fights off just about anything, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and that becomes paramount. I don't think that there was a magic bullet that healed me. It was that I built my immune system, and so when you're building your immune system, you have to look at all these issues of what is it that might be dampening my immune system. You have to look at things like, am I around mold? Am I around, and what am I eating? You have to change your diet. But also really importantly too is, what am I thinking and how do I feel about myself? You got to get into the emotional components of the immune system. If I don't love myself, and like, well, I don't love myself. I mean, what's that saying to the immune system? That's saying, well, why should the immune system go out and protect you? You don't care. So you have to look at things like that, and it becomes like a sort of spiritual Roto-Rooter. You know, you got to go in and like, wow, maybe it's time to forgive my mom. Maybe I got to forgive my dad. You know, could this be dampening my immune system? We have to look at all those issues. So yeah.
Can you pass it on to somebody, Beer? You know, you give somebody a kiss or something. Can they catch it from you?
There's some studies that have shown that you can pass it on sexually. Apparently it's rare, but I have seen some information.
Next up, we've got Dee Dee in Seattle, Washington. Hi, Dee Dee. Welcome.
Hello to both of you.
You too.
Hi.
Yes. I am so glad I caught the show tonight because in 1989, I became deathly ill. My ex-husband, we were out on a camping. We had a motorhome, and we mostly went camping in Washington State, but we did go to Oregon and California and Nevada and places like that. So in 89, I don't remember which trip we were on, but I became deathly ill. Okay.
Oh,
I'll just tell you some of the things. I won't go through the whole list. I wrote down a list of 20 things when I became ill. I had the thing of like instant arthritis in my ankles, my toes, my fingers, my elbows, and things like that. And I didn't have any of that, you know, before. I became very weak. It was just so many things. I wrote down 20 things. And talk with you, I would like to send those things to you, but I have to meditate and try to write that 20 problem list that I had. Oh. And my doctor at the time in Puyallup, Washington, I guess he wasn't familiar with Lyme disease in 1989. And I think maybe he gave me an antibiotic. I'm not sure. You know, so maybe I wasn't treated. I just went home, and my husband had to take care of me for like a month, probably, you know, until I came out of it. So my question is, can I be tested to say that I've had Lyme disease? And I've had a lot of problems since. I can write those down, too.
All right, but can't she be tested again? Probably.
Yeah, they can do an antibody test, just like with COVID now. So you can do you can see if you have antibodies to Lyme disease. Now, I recommend you got to go to really good labs. There's like labs like Igenix in California, which are really, really top-notch labs, and look up the latest, most sensitive tests. But yes, you can be tested to see if you're still dealing with something.
And sometimes if you get a test and you live in Virginia and the place is in Oregon, you can have that shipped? Will it work like that?
Exactly. You could just take a little sample yourself and mail it off.
And if people want to email you, Veer, what do they do?
So my website is liberatinglyme, just like it sounds, .com. You can get a hold of me there. There's contact there. And I also have Instagram, and that's at liberatinglyme. You can get a hold of me there.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment and take final phone calls with you. The name of the book, Liberating Yourself from Lyme, and we'll tell you where you can get the book when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Celestial Events and Calamities with Planet Earth. I'm looking forward to this with Bob Berman next on Coast to Coast AM. Make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Veer McCoy, the book, Liberating Yourself from Lyme. Veer, where do people get the book?
You can find it. Just Google it. It's on Inner Traditions Publishing. You can find it on Simon & Schuster's website. You can find it on Amazon. It's all over the place. Or you can find it on my website at liberatinglyme.com.
Excellent. And there's basically, it's a how-to. People can just go through the techniques of everything, the diet, the works, right?
Right. I present all the things that I did that helped me come out of it. It's pretty thorough. From herbs to homeopathics to antibiotics, but I also teach you how to do this own, become your own intuitive to start finding the remedies that are right for your body.
Well, that's important to do that. What are confections in your book? What do you mean by that?
Toe infections.
What are
infections? So as I mentioned before, when the tick bites you, it usually it can dump a whole smorgasbord of bugs in you, including Lyme, which we call Borrelia. Another co-infection is Babesia. That one I talked about is a protozoan. It can get into your heart. There's Bartonella, which is another one, and Ehrlichia. And I ended up dealing with all four of them. It's like they kind of take turns.
God, a double, triple, quad whammy.
Yeah. Not fun.
Did you ever get to the point where you just thought you wanted to give up?
Oh, yeah. You have moments. See, one of the hard parts of Lyme's is that there's a very much this psychiatric component to it. So you get a lot of anxiety and panic attacks. There's a tremendous amount of fear associated with it. So you feel like you just want to give up. You feel like you're being taken over by some entity or some beast that wants to get into you. But I'll let you know how I broke that code.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to first-time caller Jack in Butler, Pennsylvania, to get us started. Hey, Jack, thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me on, George. Your host is very knowledgeable.
I think you
should have him on again. My experience with Lyme goes back to 20 years ago.
Oh.
I got bit three different times. Luckily, one time I had to go up to the hospital. I was wanting to know if carnivores would be good to take if you had Lyme's or even if you didn't have Lyme's.
That's a good question. I definitely would have to get this to the people on that. It seems to work for a lot of things to boost your immune system. And would you say, Veer, that the immune system is probably the most critical thing of defeating Lyme's disease?
Absolutely. And we know that the immune system, most of the immune system resides in the gut. So they're showing all sorts of studies are coming out about when your gut's inflamed, your brain's inflamed. And so it's really important to get your gut into tip-top shape. You want to get like a fire going in there, not the fire of inflammation, but like, you know, a gut heat. And then take certain foods, certain medicines to really get your immune system ramped up so that it can overcome Lyme disease.
We've got Dave in New York. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for taking my call. Do you know of any repellents? I've got permethrin and a naturally green product called No More Bugs, which is supposed to deter them from coming away. And another question I want to ask is about another type of tick that's been coming up the East Coast, but it's called the Lone Star tick, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but apparently it makes you allergic to eating protein. And I'm thinking,
Hey,
our bodies are made out of protein.
What do you think of that for the first question there, Veer?
Yeah, so some of the repellents you can use. I've heard that if you take oregano oil and mix it in some water and put it in a spray bottle, that works really well as a deterrent. So you might want to try that.
It's a great little supplement too, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great, and I use that for Lyme too. It's in the book. It's a good remedy for Lyme. With the Lone Star tick, I believe that the Rocky Mountain fever, I think, is associated with. There's another, the Lone Star tick. There's another disease going on with that.
Oh, geez.
That's coming out, and yeah, I did hear about that. A protein allergy. It can really, the bacteria really can cause all sorts of crazy things. You feel like your sensory dial's been turned up from 2 to 10. You just suddenly become super sensitive to everything.
Veer, can ticks live through the winter outside, or do they die?
I think that they can live. It depends on where you're at. In California, I believe they can live through the winter in some warmer places, but I think that they do die in some of the colder areas.
Annie in Alabama, welcome to the program. Hi, Annie.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hello, McCoy. My experience is not with Lyme disease itself. However, it is with a vegetarian diet, and I use butter fat. I don't use animal fat because I won't eat animal. I will eat butter. So what do you think about that instead of animal fat for people who are vegetarians?
Yeah, I think that's great. If you don't want to do animals for moral reasons, or whatever reasons, like if you can do as much, coconut oils, avocado oils, any kind of fats, and if you're willing to do milk fats like butter, especially if you have dairy allergies, you might want to try ghee, which is sort of clarified butter, which a lot of people can seem to handle, or goat's milk. But yeah, lots and lots of butter.
Well, they say it works for you. Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi there. I want to reference the Sam Tripoli podcast, episode 412, where there's an interview with Chris Newby on the secret history of Lyme disease and bioweapons. That was really interesting. But she talks about how the CIA intended to use the ticks on the Cuban farmers way back when. But my question is really about the actual antibiotics. I mean, they can be very damaging from what I hear, depending on the type. So that would be my question, especially long-term use.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what kind of antibiotic you get here.
Yeah, well, the Western antibiotics, the things like doxycycline, and you know, a lot of times you got to be on them for years, and they can absolutely damage your whole, you know, your intestinal flora, your gut, all your gut good bacteria, and those are actually the guys you really want to help your gut to get strong. So, yeah, it's tricky. A good doctor will take breaks from antibiotics and rotate them, and have you taking lots of probiotics with them, but. Yeah, long-term antibiotics can really do some damage.
What are better, the old antibiotics like tetracycline or the new ones?
Well, there's some. I go over this in my book, and they did a number of studies to see which kinds of medicines were working the best. And interestingly enough, there's something called disulfiram, which is they use that with alcoholics to try to get alcoholics off of alcohol. And that actually came out on top in a pretty major study they did. And then minocycline is a good one. Doxycycline, I mentioned. And then there's some other ones. Ceftriaxone, which is what they use intravenously. They're always doing new research to see if there's something more effective. But it's mostly those.
Let's go to Kathleen in Fresno, California. Welcome, Kathleen. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And I can't believe it. I happened to turn you guys on. Daughter's been sick for 14 years. She's 21 years old, has had no life. Finally, 3 years ago, diagnosis, therapy's not working. She just went to Santa Fe, New Mexico for bee venom therapy. My question is, have you heard of bee venom therapy in relationship to Lyme?
Absolutely. That was one of the key medicines that I did bee venom therapy for almost 2 years. So it turns out that the venom contains something called melanin, and they found that melanin is directly antibacterial, specifically towards Lyme disease. They've even done some studies that it seems to be effective with HIV. So yes, bee venom is a really potent antimicrobial that I talk about in my book.
And how did you take it? Do you ingest it, inject it? How did you get it?
Well, you know, I came to bee venom I was at my wit's end one day, and I was crying, and I started praying. I just was like, help me, somebody help me. And a bee landed on my hand. And it was one of those things of like, that hasn't happened to me for maybe a long time. So, you know, I thought, what should I do? Do I need to eat honey, or should I eat pollen? And then I thought about it, the venom. And I was like, no, dear God, no. And I went home and Googled bee venom and Lyme disease. And it turns out that it's like a major treatment for Lyme disease. So the way you can administer is you can do live stings. And there's actually people called apitherapists, or people that are trained in stinging you with bees and it could be acupuncture points. And it's also very helpful for people with multiple sclerosis. They've done a bunch of studies as well. Yeah, bee venom. Or you can get it so that you inject it. They get it out of bees. They make them run across a little electric current, and it doesn't kill them. They squirt the venom out, and you can inject that like a with an insulin needle.
How much do you get? Just a little bit?
Yeah, you want to do like the equivalent. You have to build it up very slowly. First, you have to make sure you're not allergic to bees. And you always have to have an EpiPen on hand as well. But you build it up to about the equivalent of 10 stings, I believe, every 2 or 3 days.
Rob in the Bronx is with us. Hi, Rob.
Yeah, hi, George. Good evening. I just got a question. As far as getting tested for Lyme, I know you mentioned that it can go dormant into cysts and such. But if it ever goes dormant, and can they still test you for it? Because back in 06 was the last time I ever got bit by a tick, and I was actually in Lyme, Connecticut. And had no problems, but within the last year and a half, I've been having, when you mentioned the arm and all this other stuff, like neurological things, I've been having trouble.
Interesting.
And I was investigating it, but COVID hit, so, you know, that stopped everything. But can it go dormant for that long?
Yeah, it can go dormant for a long time. So the key, and sometimes, yes, you're absolutely right. When you take those tests, they don't always catch it. You know, sometimes because the Lyme is mutated or it's in that cyst form. So the best time to do it, if you're feeling like you're having a flare-up, like you're feeling really crappy, then you could go get tested because that means there's probably some of the cysts have hatched.
All right. Well, good luck, Rob, because that stuff stays. What do you think the longest it would stay dormant?
Oh, geez. I know people. I don't know. The literature that I write about in my book says up to at least a year. Who knows? It could lay, you know, it could be with someone for a long time. It's just that someone's immune system might get a handle on it, so they never really, you know, never gets out of control anymore. It could be like that.
We've got Joe in Ohio. Hey, Joseph, you're up with us.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Joe.
I really sympathize because I've been dealing with this issue for probably the last 7 or 8 years.
Wow, long time, Joe.
And to answer your question, there are weaponized nanoticks. We know now there's a close doctor and scientist that I work with that's helping me tremendously. They know how it first attacks the immune system. It goes to the thymus system, the sinus and the lymph, and then to the endocrine system. And they know how it attacks in this order. Now, to totally knock it out, the treatments that I've been doing are hyperbaric therapy and ozone. Those are extremely very helpful, and I do get IV therapy. At first, when I first started and I went mainstream to try to get this, I was on heavy doses of antibiotics, antifungals, steroids, and it was just kind of like the quiet before the storm. It totally wiped my good bacteria out, and it did quite harm. And then I went the naturopathic method, and that helped me much better. And now I'm seeing this doctor and actually a scientist. And George, I think they would love to speak with you and explain in detail what's really going on out there, how many weaponized pathogens are out there. The one scientist was ex-NASA, these are they basically saved my life. The one scientist, he's working on developing what's called an EMP to be able to short-circuit these weaponized pathogens out of the body.
Well, have them get a hold of me, George at coasttocoastam.com, okay?
Coasttocoastam, okay, no problem. Coasttocoastam.com. I'll have them write to you if you're interested because they're brilliant. They're brilliant.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Thank you. As we begin to wrap things up, Vera, again, let's give out your website if you would, and if people can email you in case they have any questions that way.
Yeah, you can find me at liberatinglyme.com, and just there's a contact form. You can get a hold of me that way. I'll get the email.
What do you think of the possibility of weaponized tick bites?
Like I said before, I had the intuitive image of the bacteria itself being pretty mutant looking, like something out of a video game. I definitely touched on it in my book. It's a whole show we could get into it, but I think that there's probably a strong possibility that I believe that Lyme was manipulated.
You may be right. Veer, thank you, and stay safe, my friend. The name of the book, Liberating Yourself from Lyme. Up next, we're going to talk about the possibility of celestial events affecting all of us, just what we need right now, right?